You're listening to BAU, Business as Unusual, the podcast that is shifting the way we think, interact and transact.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's blowing a gale over here, a couple of clicks from where you are.
Yeah, the wind has picked up, hasn't it? So the winds have changed or blowing, it feels like, doesn't it, here in Australia? So it's not just the wind, it's kind of the general economy, the general state of things that feel like they're moving a fair bit at the moment.
It does. It sounds like it, and it feels like it's time for the novel crafts to get out, whether it's the kite board, the foil board with some weird plastic bag over your head to try and catch a bit of that wind.
Yeah, I don't. Does that look just on the slide? But does that look like fun to you? It doesn't.
There's something that catches like my boyhood imagination that you could fly on anything. Do you know what I mean? With that. Craft, we're talking about something that you hold over your head. It pretty much is a plastic bag over your head, but yeah, it costs a hell of a lot more and maybe a little bit more aerodynamic. But
what do they call it? Wings is what they call them. Yeah.
You can fly. There's some cool clips of people like flying and nearly dying with them, but they genuinely, you feel like they are. What were the brothers who invented flying or like made it?
Oh, the Wright brothers. Yeah, the Wright brothers. Yeah, I reckon the Wright brothers might be going, that's a little bit wrong, what those guys are doing, but we'll see. But people seem to enjoy it. Every time I see them out there on them, they look like they're having fun, and they got a smile on their face for the most part.
Well, you can't ask much more with these winds blowing, so I think it's definitely times for testing and trying and pushing ahead, regardless where the wind's blowing, but it's definitely changed.
It beats being a paddleboarder, if nothing else.
Yeah, let's not bring them in. We don't want to ruin your Friday.
No, that's true. But yes, definitely. Like there's changes amongst us, I guess, and kind of, I wouldn't say that, I think the biggest thing that I've kind of noticed really over the last couple of weeks is kind of here in Australia with the RBA coming out, really talking, quite openly about the gap between wage growth and productivity, right? And, so what we've kind of seen post-COVID here in Australia is that, I guess that kind of the labor shortage has driven wages, but yet productivity is lower than it was going into the pandemic. So there's, which is not a, that's not a sustainable economic position, in terms of it by its nature causes inflation, but then also around that is the bigger question around what is the actual productivity unlock? How do you start to think about that? And then it's, a lot of the kind of the use case for that tends to the classic thing of coming back to, well, AI will solve it. I saw kind of, at least three kind of references to here comes the mighty AI to close the gap, so to speak. But it's interesting that even, AI is now in the productivity debate as the solve for it all. But I think last time we spoke, we were thinking about discussing really how it is it a business model in and of itself, or is it more like a flywheel technology that's actually really it's going to create better use cases for things that already exist or make them better. So I think that's kind of an interesting area for us to chat about.
Yeah, 100%. I think that off the back end of where we are, and then you mentioned something, where is AI going to fix this? And I think everyone's been guilty to say AI will fix any problem you've had of late, whether it's back pain or a friend that you don't want anymore. It's like AI will fix it, and I don't know how. Yeah.
Well, it is being used in dating, so to kind of talk to your potential matches. That's interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, even your actual match at the end to combat loneliness, which is a pandemic or an epidemic in and of itself, which is a whole nother conversation. But to get right back to where you said around the Australian winds are changing, like productivity, there's a fair bit to unpack there. But I just want to be super clear, like what does that even mean? Like, really, like we can go over that shortly, but it's like now, but can we just do it as succinctly as we can.
Yeah, sure. Like it's the return. It's the return on your investment. So like if your investment in wages is the input cost, and then the output cost is basically what you're getting out of that dropping. Like we're not actually seeing growing productivity, which is traditionally what you've always seen. So wages. I mean, this stopped being true, kind of with the rise of capital, really, in the 80s, and a lot of our social ills today come from the disconnect between growing productivity through labor and those rewards going to labor. Now, a lot of those rewards now go to capital. But what I'm talking about in this instance is actually it's actually lowering productivity and increasing wages. So labor is getting more of the wage, so to speak, but the actual employer themselves is getting less of the productivity. Mm-hmm. So it sets up a slightly different dynamic that I think is interesting because we actually haven't seen that in a very, very long time, where it's kind of like the shoe is on the foot of the employer in terms of getting kicked in the ass. It's not on the laborer at the moment. And typically in those types of things, the response, if you're an employer and you're really incentivized to look at return on capital, then the thing that you focus on is obviously the input cost if you can't get the productivity to correct itself. So that's the dilemma I think we're faced here with in Australia. And we're not alone in that. A lot of economies are going through this. Japan's seen this. This is the classic start of what they call stagflation, where you basically, but the stagnation in wages is probably going to be the response to this, right? So it's kind of, you see this little jump, everything sits there, but then you keep getting inflation, but the employer's going, sorry, no more, because we're not seeing the productivity gains.
Yeah, so it just feels like we're really feeling the momentum of what happened over COVID. Like that's across the board. Like it just keeps coming back to that every time I look at it. I'm like, we got pumped in, over 10% of the cash into the economy. We just fabricated it, and now we're trying to catch up to that inflation. And now we're getting productivity. We hired a ridiculous amount of people at a ridiculous cost, and now we're going, well, where's the productivity for that? And it takes a while for that to correlate. It doesn't happen overnight, but we made those decisions overnight.
We did.
Everyone's getting kicked in the ass now because everyone's footing the bill for especially in Victoria for staying home and making that happen. But
there's lots of interesting like stuff around kind of like how the balance as well, right? Because I think that's the other thing to not forget in this, at least in professional services and kind of other areas of the economy, is that there's a new working model that's being experimented with. So it really was that I'm not saying being in the office is productive, because I'm not sure it is in terms of like kind of people that you're most productive, but I think the connectivity, the kind of, you know, it's become a word that, you know, I've heard more and more, I guess, in my circles over the last kind of, you know, last 6 months really, and now it's kind of hitting a crescendo, which is that, you know, it's kind of the proximity and the ability to work with a little bit more pace. I think the kind of the working from home thing tends to slow that down, right? So it's kind of the pace piece of a team together, kind of getting through stuff, working through stuff, is, you know, I think partly trying to find a solve for that that balances everything, is kind of what, you know, I think I would think is one of the issues and one of the agendas going into next financial year for a lot of employers.
Yeah, pace, how to hit your targets quicker, and productivity in the narrative is definitely a good pacemaker for that to happen. But off the back of that, how is AI going to fix it? Can it fix it? So we've sort of dissected what productivity is.
Yeah.
Input in, output out. It's like, is AI going to actually fix this? Or to your point, are we going to just get a little bit of extra innovation or a little bit of extra help from something? It's a strange time for that to happen. I feel like every time I'm looking around and seeing, is AI going to fix it? The answer is flat out no.
I think so too.
But at the same time, like there's definitely room for when you go into data and like doing a lot of lifting. For sure. There's huge help. And then when you actually put it against productivity, and then the like innovative minds being like, all right, these are problems service providers are having right now, and that's connectivity. and that is pace. Like, how do you actually get output out? How do you replicate some of the mechanics that happen maybe at an office, or even if you're back at an office, how do you keep that momentum going and keep people on the same track? Almost like a train of movement moving forward. Because I think that's where stagflation happens in a team. It's like, who's carrying that forward? Who's carrying that momentum to get that project across? Like, there's different ways to do that. You got Apple come out with the headset that everyone's pretty excited about. That's definitely going to get a little tryout, but whether that goes further or not, it definitely touches on your gesture theory. It's pretty amazing the tech that's come there around gesture and where sort of connectivity interaction online's heading.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of productivity, I reckon it's going to hit the factories pretty hard. It's going to hit spreadsheets pretty hard, and obviously data lifting hard. Like, that's
definitely. Yeah, like, it's, I think it's, you know, what's like, obviously thinking a lot about kind of like the use case is really for AI and kind of what it's good at and what it's not good at. And I think it's what it's tremendous at is identifying the average of something. So if you know, like, even with the large language models or any way that you feed it, I think it's the truth of data, right? Is it actually finds inside. So the data set is defined, right? So the data set has a width to it, data lake, however you want to think about that. There's a width or a kind of a depth to it, and that's what these machines can actually be trained on. So that's the extent of their knowledge. So are they all knowing on that data set? Yes. But then the prompts and the way that we actually use it is to actually find the average, typically. So, and I think that's the first kind of really strong set of kind of products that you already start to see coming out of AI. So, like, if it's a chat bot, right, it knows that based on flying with an airline, that the most common thing that people are calling through to do is what, right? It's actually probably to shift a flight, or it's probably that their flight's been canceled, et cetera. It knows that, and it knows how to deal with that and reroute it. What it's probably not so good at is the novelty cases, right? It's we were joking around before we started recording about, you know, like flying in the bottom of planes, like the new economy class. So kind of, can it get any worse in terms of all of that? And that's something quite novel that AI would not be able to deal with in that context, but it probably would be able to identify that's not part of my data set, that needs to go to a person, right? Yeah. So this is the kind of
that it doesn't want to fly below economy.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't want to go in the hold, right? In theory, it should be able to identify that and then be able to actually kind of triage that and push that across. So I think those types of interfaces are where AI is really interesting, where things are most true. And you see that again in like things like surveillance, right? So what it's really, really good at is identifying the typical kind of pictures. It's really, really good at identifying what theft looks like. It's really good at kind of identifying that. So that's all great at the average, but if you're a smart thief, you're going to look at all of that and go, well, that's what the average person does, I'm going to do it like this, and then it's not going to kind of catch you because it's not trained on that behavior.
Yeah, so this gaming system for sure is still going to be there, so relax all the thieves listening out there.
And you still got a future, but it's the top 10% of you that's going to do well, not the bottom 90.
Yeah, well, I feel like what it's going to do is just, I don't know, change the game of what average is. That's what you're sort of saying there. But at what cost is interesting. I was at a conference the other day, and I was like a little bit mortified by the language that was using and the tasks that it was being used. Like, it was obviously there to hype up AI, but we had an acknowledgement of country, and the person who was meant to be doing it was like, and an acknowledgement of country for anyone who isn't out in Australia is just where people at the start of a speech or welcoming people to their event and acknowledging the cultures that have formed this land and continue to do so. And what they did was they got AI to do it, and they said, AI is so wise, so smart, so clever, so this, so that. And then they read the whole thing out from AI, and they're like, oh my God, it's so clever what it did. It really cares. It really does. And it was just like, what the hell are you doing? What are you trying to sell me? And this is just cooked. In my view, I felt so off. Like, and everyone was sort of just munching on it, like, this is great, this is so clever. And it's like, where's your, like, where do you come into this? Like, why are you trying to get yourself out of every responsibility? That's why I'm sort of saying this average, like, everyone's so petrified of putting a foot wrong or this wrong, and the God complex was so strong in the room. I was like, wow, what cost is this going to come? But we've been there. But on your point around raising what average is going to be interesting, and then at what cost, like, where can people still hold their voice is going to be fascinating. So I think it is a space for the brave to still make the mistakes. It's a chaos game, but the average is going to be there. Everyone's going to, because of the access, that's where we are. It used to only be academics. That's why there's so many parallels to the internet with AI, because it used to only be academic use case, and now it's to the masses. And it's like, well, it's sort of like a new level of what the internet was, and it's just how people are going to use that. Is it going to have a .com era moment, or is it going to have a Hiroshima moment? Like, that's sort of where we are, sadly. That's pretty crazy to think what that is. Me.
It's true. Because
when you go into weapons, like, but we try not to go there, but that's like genuinely where it can go with this AI is it's used for weapons, and it will be, and it is right now. So it's a harsh reality that not many of us are necessarily privy to. Everyone's scared of, but doesn't really know enough of. And that's the other place that we're in at the moment. And it's like, well, where are we? But I suppose to change tack with that, because we were trying to focus on sort of new businesses, like the existing models that are there, say from working from home when I was coming to this convo, is like, there's the fractured economy. We've spoken about the fractured economy, what that actually means. Like, is that model going to continue going as sort of workforce? Because if this productivity game continues, it feels like AI and different places will step in and sort of say, I can do that job better, or a portion of that workforce has to get thinned if we're going to tame inflation. Like, it's some harsh realities are coming. But then it's like, where does sort of the new workforce come together and start to create value and then distribute that value? That's going to be the fascinating game. And there is sort of like an underlying, I don't know, what is it, almost like gamification of the economy, where you get together with small groups. You're an independent, but you add value to a group. You're an independent, you add value to a group. It's almost like the food delivery of every industry. Like, whether that will come through and form into something different is new governance structure for the economy, whether that comes. Nice. It's sort of like, I just saw it the other day, it's like everyone's going to, someone made a bold statement, everyone's going to be in a DAO, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
At some point in the next 5 years, which I thought was fascinating. Like, they won't know that they're in a DAO, but they will. And that's essentially just like either giving their rights over to data to get reimbursed, or whether they're going to be actually trying to create value as a collective and get that value distributed in milestones or however way they do that. That's sort of what's coming against the legacy way of doing it, which is like, you know, company structure, working down, working through a problem, solving things or producing product and going that way. Like, it's a fascinating spot that we're in. And we know from COVID how fragile our global economy is. It takes one fuck up and we're all scrambling for food, we're all scrambling for toilet paper, and supply chains are ruined, and we go through this whole inflationary cycle again.
Exactly. And I think that's the the kind of the real watch out of all of these things is that so if you follow like the product model that's kind of actually already here with AI, I think it's what the best kind of products are, the ones that are becoming exactly what you're talking about, right? Which is that they're targeted. So not in a kind of weapon sense, but they're actually helping the organization target and being able to kind of actually address with things. And that really comes back to the idea of what it's good for is finding the average. And, you know, I think we've spoken before around this idea that kind of really where the trajectory of this goes to is the one answer. I think the thing that I've been reflecting a lot on, and kind of, you know, even thinking back through my Star Trek kind of analogy that I often get stuck in with that one, which is that, you know, kind of the computer answers. The computer gives the average answer, right, based off of what it knows. And I think that's the part that I've probably not fully reflected on enough, is that that's where this heads, is that it kind of gives you the average of things. And then the question is, the human is that, okay, what am I going to do with that, right? What am I actually going to do with that? And then so therefore its use cases become very much around where there is finding the average is to your advantage, right? So that's what I've been really trying to think through. So like in healthcare, finding the average is really to your advantage, right? In doctors, and kind of being much more analytic around kind of like the average cancer patient basically responds to this, who has those types of symptoms. So that's a definable question, and therefore the knowledge base can create the average answer. And that's probably the right starting point for treatment. And that in theory frees up the doctor to deal with the atypical cases on either side of that. So I think that's what I've been thinking a lot about, and kind of like the productization of where this starts to head, is that I don't think it's going to create a new, this is not the internet, right? It's not the internet in that kind of, it's going to redistribute value. I think what it's going to do is basically redistribute time from kind of, you know, from things to other things for humans. I think that's what's kind of interesting about this particular technology, if it's done well. I mean, this could all go to hell in a handbasket. You know, there could be kind of really major things that come out of it. It only takes one kind of scandal, or, you know, everyone's lights to turn off in the summer here in Australia for us all to freak out, you know, going AI is taking over. But, you know, in that example, you'd be using AI to basically manage average power load, right? Yeah. And it's, and the human would be sitting there going, okay, that all looks fine. You know, the analytics are all running really, really well. But what if there's a spike, right? What happens if, you know, Pat, you turn on your John Deere out of Cape Shank to cool everyone down, and the system's not geared up for it? And that's where the human response time, and what, let's say we, you know, often I think we fall in love with technology, we're like, we don't need the people, right? We don't need the people sitting there just in case. And I think there'll be a few bits and pieces of that. But product wise, I think it's much more where the average is advantageous, and where humans actually have to make a call on the average, that's where I see the huge unlock that AI is going to bring.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I like that read. And I hope human on the other end stay strong, and that's a lot to make those calls. There'll be like a product off the back of that, because everyone these days tries to dodge a major call. That's just an observation.
But we might not be able to dodge it, right? Like the idea of being.
We'll figure out a way. There'll be a product to dodge it. For
sure. Yeah. Well, I made my call based on the average that
I dissected that, and the average of the unaverage call was correct. But autonomy, yeah, has been productized. But taking away AI, like the winds of change that started this whole conversation, I don't think are just due to AI.
They're not.
When you actually look at it all, and like I think we focus a lot on that, and everyone is like AI, but it's like when we actually strip it all back, there is new ways that we, or new or old ways of catching up. We're like in a, there's change around. You said at the start, winds of change. Like that's where we are. And there's opportunity, and then there's also just freaking hanging on for dear life, like in a lot of ways, and trying to reconstruct or construct out of the rubble of what is this newfound reality. Like that's sort of where we are. And there's, where does that head? I'm curious to get your read. I gave it my best shot around like trying to sum up where I think things are. Like I was walking the streets of Melbourne the other day and chatting to a few people, and they're like really harping on around that. I suppose this fella had background in India and talking around, say, the Indian economy and how it was an innovator's paradise to a degree, but it was the only way out. And it was a lot about corruption that exists. It was a lot about sort of power where it sits, but then it was also using the chaos theory. And that was like, you never use the rules. The rules are for fools. And how you get out of that and how you build value is quite unique. And seeing that, like, for a country like India is it is on the up, and there is real innovation coming from there. And what does that mean? And their take on the economy that's coming out of there is small businesses really starting to thrive from there. And you can see it now starting to, they on average to have, what is it, 2 mobile phones each. And yeah, they're just very clever with what they can make on a phone. But yeah, it's fascinating what AI can do in that space. Yes, AI, but then it's like, what is the economy and where are things moving? It's, I don't have a...
For sure. I mean, and that's, you know, that's probably like, you know, like a really good conversation to have around kind of like incentive structure, because, you know, like kind of starting to pivot out of AI, it's not a panacea, right? So like, I think if you're, it's, but what it is an enhancement. And I think the bigger piece you're talking about is that in this part of the economic cycle, really where advantage starts to go is the people who are willing to break the rules and actually try something new, to actually find different ways to value. Like the status quo is always what's under threat. And in times like this, on all levels, from political through to kind of business, through to kind of social, it's that, And, you know, I think that's where it's, I think a lot of advanced economies, as well as a lot of kind of emerging economies, like India is probably a slight exception. But like a lot of everywhere you look, super high inflation, you know, actually real problems coming out of COVID, and kind of, you know, this lean towards kind of trying to find an answer that is not about a traditional kind of party system, et cetera, in democracies. So there's a lot in that, but I think that's maybe where we can go next. So we can park the robots for a little while and start talking, you know, about the kind of the social construct behind it all.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good chance. Obviously, I'll slip back here and there, but but yeah, I think it's a good chance to look under the hood and see what is moving in the human rivers, and yeah, the cultural river where we did jump off a few weeks back, and see what's moving and changing. But until then, mate, enjoy your plastic bags above your head and kite and how you're floating there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, maybe I can make a new one of those. Yeah.
Who knows where that'll take you.
But. You're good, man. Thank you. All right, have a great day. See you, mate.
Thank you for listening to BAU Business as Unusual. Subscribe and learn more at baupod.co. That's baupod.co.